this time we'd like to invite the children to come forward for our children's moment. Y'all come around this way. We got seating right here and everything. All right, you get right there. All right. How are you all doing this morning?
Good.
All right, so a couple weeks ago, William took the bag, and he filled it with something. And what were the three rules again? Do you remember?
It can't be alive.
It can't be alive. Have ever been alive. And if you, even if I don't know what it is, you have to explain it to me. All right? All right, so let's see the bag here. What do we got in here? Oh, we got tractors. Toy tractors. And what is this?
It's a wheat drill.
A wheat drill. Is that the main thing you're wanting me to look at here? What? Oh, and this is, what does this do? Put the seed in this, just like Jesus would have done. And then what? Oh, you fold that down. A couple days later, there's a whole science to this that is beyond me. At the end of the day, this helps plant crops, right?
No.
You get started at 1 o'clock. Planting crops? Okay, so it does plant crops, but you start at 1 in the morning. So early, early morning. Okay. Well, what are we called to do as Christians? Are we called to sow seed and to plant crops and to harvest people that want to come and know him? Jesus tells us a story about a farmer going out and sowing seed. And he scatters some here and he scatters some there. And he doesn't really pay a lot of attention to where he scatters it. Now, with this machine, you're going to pay very close attention to where you're putting it because you want it to yield growth, right? You want things to happen. And it's very important that when we share the love of Jesus, we share it to those that we hope will receive it, knowing that if we put the time and effort into it, that farmers put into planting and growing crops, that we will see reward, we will see harvest, we will see people come to know Jesus, right? And that's important. And these are some tools that help us do that. What kind of tools do we have to help us share Jesus' love with others? Church, the Bible, prayer, right? All these things help us to share Jesus' love. Smiling helps. Any of you all smile ever? Not when you're up here? A few of you? Okay. All right. Well, William, thank you very much for that. Now, you get to pick who gets the bag this time. So who do you want to give the bag to? He doesn't want it. So why don't you pick somebody? Why don't you pick her? All right. There you go. And can you remind me of your name, please?
Destiny.
All right. So Destiny, next week, you bring something and put it in that bag, and we will see what happens, all right? All right. Thank you again, William. Let's pray, okay? Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your love and grace. We thank you for the opportunity we have to sow seeds, Lord, the opportunity we have to show your love to others. And we pray that you would help us in that endeavor. Lord, we pray that we would do it knowing that you will produce a great harvest of people to come and to know you. Lord, we love you, we thank you, we praise you, and ask all these things in Christ's name. Amen. All right, you guys can follow those people over there. Gonna lie, I was a little nervous. Susie is gonna come and read our scripture this morning.
Our scripture this morning is Luke 10:25-37. A legal expert stood up to test Jesus. "Teacher," he said, "what must I do to gain eternal life?" Jesus replied, "What is written in the law? How do you interpret it?" He responded, "You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your being, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself." Jesus said to him, "You have answered correctly. Do this, and you will live." But the legal expert wanted to prove that he was right. So he said to Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" Jesus replied, "A man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho. He encountered thieves who stripped him naked, beat him up, and left him near death. Now it just so happened that a priest was also going down the same road. When he saw the injured man, he crossed over to the other side of the road and went on his way. Likewise, a Levite came by that spot, saw the injured man, and crossed over to the other side of the road and went on his way. A Samaritan who was on a journey came to where the man was, but when he saw him, he was moved with compassion. The Samaritan went to him and bandaged his wounds, tending them with oil and wine. Then he placed the wounded man on his own donkey, took him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day, he took 2 days' worth of wages and gave them to the innkeeper. He said, 'Take care of him, and when I return, I will pay you back for any additional cost.' What do you think? Which one of these three was a neighbor to the man who encountered thieves?" Then the legal expert said, "The one who demonstrated mercy toward him." Jesus told him, "Go and do likewise." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you again for this day that you've given to us, for the opportunity we have to hear your word read and proclaimed this morning. We pray that you would be with the words you have given me to speak. May they be your words and not my words. May they open our eyes to see, our ears to hear, our hearts to receive, our minds to understand. And may we, in the strength of the bodies you have given to us, be useful for your service. We ask all of these things in Christ's name. Amen. This story of the Good Samaritan is a familiar story. Are there any who have ever heard that story this morning? You guys are getting really good at this raising your hand thing. I'm really grateful for that. So not everyone's heard it, or you just didn't raise your hand. That's fine. The problem with stories like this is they get too familiar, don't they? And we've heard this over and over again. And I want us to be able to kind of get inside the minds of the early Jews who would have heard Jesus tell this story and how upset they would have been when they heard that a Samaritan was the good guy. And so I want to tell this story a little bit differently in a little different context to kind of give us an understanding of how provocative what Jesus says here is said. So, there was a UK basketball fan. Any UK basketball fans in here? Yeah, nobody has a problem raising their hand with that. And this fan is on their way to Rupp Arena, the Mecca of all things UK. And as he is going, he encounters some thieves, some scoundrels, some U of L fans, whatever you want to say. And upon encountering them, they take him and they beat him. And they steal from him and they leave him for dead there on Vine Street. Some of you have seen this before. And it just so happens, a few moments later, Adolf Rupp walks by and he sees this UK fan on the side of the road, and he passes by on the other side because there are important things to do at Rupp. A few moments later, we have John Calipari coming down the road, and the same thing happens. He sees this UK fan, and he goes on the other side of the road. But lo and behold, Christian Laettner is walking down the street. This is a lot. The last time I did this, I got booed, so this is good. Y'all are receiving this far better. Christian Laettner walks by. Do we have a Duke fan? Sorry. Apologize. Christian Laettner walks by, and he takes this man, and he bandages his wounds, and he takes him to the UK hospital. He's, of course, disguised, so nobody knows it's him. And he says, here's some money to start with this. I'm going to be back in a few days. I've got to go do something evil or whatever he does when he's not here. And then I'll come back and I'll pay the rest of this guy's medical bills. All right? And so I ask you this morning, who showed kindness and love to his neighbor? as much as it pains us, Christian Leitner. Now, I have a pen that my brother gave me. I keep it on my computer bag because it reminds me of this story, and it's a pen that says, "I still hate Leitner." And it reminds me just of the horrible fact that some 20 years later, we still can't quite seem to get over that. And, of course, you can replace Leitner's name with any other type of name or person. But this word hate, it can be a pretty strong word, can it not? When we hear our children say it, we say, "No, you don't say that. Don't say hate." Right? It's a strong word, but I don't want us to fool ourselves this morning into thinking that there are any here who don't have a hatred for someone or some people group in some form or fashion. I don't want any of us to fool ourselves this morning into thinking that we don't have prejudices. Okay? Now, I know somebody's going to come up to me after worship today and say, "Pastor, I don't hate anybody." I'm talking to you right now. You do. And the only way to get through that is to recognize it. Don't be in denial about it this morning. As for me, I hate everyone that's different than me. That's a joke. That got really real, really quick here. I'm only intolerant of intolerant people, right? We all have those hang-ups and those prejudices, and in order to move past them, we have to face them head-on. And that's what Jesus is doing here. He's making these Jewish people, these legal experts, these Pharisees, face their prejudices head-on. Instead of Leitner, maybe this morning you want to replace his name with people who believe differently than you politically. Maybe you would want to put Muslim in there or some sort of extremist or whatever it may be. We all have them. There's this sense of cultural hatred or even worse, neutrality. We just don't care enough to hate or to love those people, right? And we need to be mindful of this morning. This is what Jesus is trying to shove in our faces this morning. This isn't Matt stepping on your toes. This is Jesus doing that. So write him the letter of anger that you have. Jesus is teaching us that our neighbors are those who share this earth with us. Not just the ones we're aware of, but the ones that maybe we're not aware of and the ones that we wish weren't, but they are. Be reminded this morning that Jesus loves you just as much as he loves these other people that we can't tolerate or don't want to tolerate for one reason or another. And so we notice, just like what maybe some of us are trying to do this morning, this legal expert wants to prove himself right. I have a really bad habit of trying to prove myself right. In verse 29, he asked Jesus, "Who is our neighbor? Who is my neighbor?" And in asking this question, not only is he showing that he doesn't know who his neighbor is, but he's showing he really doesn't know who God is, isn't he? The Old Testament gets a bad rap for having this angry, vengeful God, and really nothing could be further from the truth. God is the creator of who in the Old Testament? Man, woman, everyone. Adam and Eve, right? Everyone. He has created all of us. He is trying to bring all people groups to himself, and he is using the Israelites to do that. It's their fault that God is looked at in the way that he is looked at, because they have been the ones to refuse to reach out to those that they despised or hated or thought less of. Any of this beginning to ring true in our own minds? The Old Testament constantly speaks of God's love for the nations, for his people. Like us, the legal expert doesn't find it convenient to include some people. And indeed, it is not convenient to include some. It's rather difficult sometimes, at least in my own life, to include some, especially Duke fans. Sorry. And in so doing, this expert of the law fails to see God for who God is. Really is. He fails to recognize who God is, and he fails to recognize the love and the forgiveness and the patience that God has used for him that this man refuses to use for others. And like the legal expert, we get too caught up in the legality of Christianity from time to time. And more often than not, I'd say that we don't get caught up in the legality of what it means to be a follower of Jesus. We get caught up in the legality of how we think we should be followers of Jesus. Right? Well, I think this is how people should behave. I think this is what people should do. And we all have our opinions, right? And those are great. More often than not, they're better kept to ourselves. But we get caught up in the legality of it. And then when we forget who God is, the suffering continues. When we forget who God is, we leave that man on the side of the road. And we don't help. We don't offer what has been so freely and infinitely offered to us. It's all too easy for us, I think, to love God with all of our heart and our soul and our mind. It's very easy to do that because at the end of the day, that's all theory. Well, I know that I'm supposed to do this, and I know that this is how I'm supposed to believe, and I know this, and this about God and Christianity. Well, that's great. But we're called to love God with our strength as well. Loving God with all of our strength moves us from theory to practice. It moves us from knowing what we probably should be doing to actually doing it. Now I'm amazed at how I picked this passage out months ago. And early Thursday morning I got a call at 3:30 a.m. I said, "Are you all a Red Cross station?" We've got people that are in need. 20 minutes. And off we came. Putting theory into, I had no clue if you all were Red Cross place. I was going to open the doors regardless. Putting theory to practice. John Wesley says that theology isn't theology unless you live it out, unless you practice it, unless you do it. Loving God with all of our strength means seeing a need and acting on it. And that's the opportunity we have each and every day. That's what keeps life from getting dull and boring. It may mean early mornings from time to time. It may mean late nights from time to time. It may mean inconvenience from time to time. But it is the good and the right thing. This story forces us to ask, what typically keeps us from loving our neighbor? There are four things, I think, that keep us from loving our neighbors. And the first is self-preservation. Well, Matt, I don't know who these people are. I don't know what their game is. Are they even really hurt, or are they just trying to sucker me in and then take advantage of me in one form or another? Jesus doesn't say, help those who ask after they filled out the proper documentation and have, you know, gone through the background checks, does he? He doesn't go through that. That's the legality of it. Well, so we can take that one out. Let's throw that out there. No self-preservation. Don't worry about it. Jesus will take care of that. Maybe you have a low view of self. Oh, Pastor, I really don't have a lot to offer. Well, Abby and I are new here, and you all have already shown how much you have to offer. And so we know that if you are willing to do it for us, who should you be willing to do it for as well? Others. All right, so we can take that one off the list. It's getting easier. Nothing's keeping me now from helping my neighbor. Busy schedule. How many of us have a busy schedule? A lot less than I would have thought. All right, that's good. So the rest of you that don't have a busy schedule, I'll see you tomorrow morning around 8, 9 o'clock. It never fails that from time to time someone will come to me and they'll say, Pastor, I'm sorry I haven't been to church in a while, but you know we've got so-and-so in a nursing home or so-and-so has been sick or ill or we've got this, that, or the other. And I'm like, you're exactly where you need to be. You're not focused on the theory of Christianity. You're practicing it. So keep being there. Keep doing that. Now, if it's the UK game that's keeping you from coming, that's a whole other conversation, and we'll have that. But how many of you all would be upset if the pastor was late to church? Well, come on, raise your hands. All right. How many of you would be upset if I was late because I was helping somebody? Nobody. The question becomes now, will you ask me while I was late? How great would it be if we had to start late because we were busy helping somebody? I have to imagine the priest and the Levite are passing by because they've got somewhere they've got to be. Well, I've got a meeting. I've got a board meeting at church. I've got to hurry and get there, right? It didn't become important until they saw this person with the need. Got our busy schedules. And finally, the failure or the refusal, more appropriately, to recognize God's image in that person. You know, the only difference between someone who's asking for assistance to you and you is that they're the ones asking now. Sooner or later, you're going to be the one asking for assistance. What will you want someone's response to be? Maybe when we pray, we should pray for God to give us opportunities to exercise our faith rather than for asking God to keep us safe. How many of us pray, God, be with so-and-so, keep them safe. Keep me safe. Help me not to get hurt. Really what we're praying is help me not to be inconvenienced by someone's need. Maybe we should ask God to keep us faithful instead of safe. Maybe that is the more appropriate prayer that we should be praying. Maybe that is the prayer God is ready and willing to answer yes to immediately. And honestly, how are we ever safer than when we are busy doing our Father's will? But Matt, that's great. I still hate Leitner. I still hate so-and-so. I've still got issues with this person or that person or this people group or that people group. And I realize that as beautifully as this sermon has been written and as beautifully as I am delivering it, I'll give you a second to process that. There are still going to be people when you leave this place that you hate. You're still going to have your prejudices when you leave here today. So what practical steps can you take to turn that hate into love? To be perfect in love as our Heavenly Father is perfect in love? And the long and the short answer is to pray. It really is that simple. And it is really that difficult. Pray. Pray to see the world from your enemy's perspective. Lord, why do they do the things that they do? Why do they say the things that they say? Help me to understand them better. Help me to know that most police officers have my best interest at heart. Help me to know that those who don't seem to appreciate or like our police officers as much, help me to understand why. Help me to get that so that I don't judge them unfairly. Pray that God will show you other passages in Scripture of people being set free from their hatred. All but like three books in the New Testament, I'm sure I'm wrong, so don't correct me, please, are written by Paul. Did Paul hate anybody? Yes, Pastor. Okay, raise your hands if you think Paul hated somebody. All right, four of us. All right, good. Pray that God will bring you to other passages of people working through these issues. Pray that like the Samaritan, that like Christian Leitner in our story, you will have compassion on those that you encounter. That same compassion that Christ has for you. Lord, give us the strength to go and do likewise. To do likewise. Not to think likewise. Not to theory likewise, but to do. As we have been called to do. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you again for this day that you have given to us, for the opportunity we've had this week and undoubtedly other times to do what you have called us to do and to be those people who have come alongside those in need of help. Lord, we pray that you would continue to guide and lead us this day and always in all that you have called us to do. And may we be mindful and may we be unafraid to step out in faith. And we ask all of these things in Christ's name. Amen.